Hello, and welcome to episode 4 of Decoding Estrangement. This is a podcast series for moms that are navigating the journey of adult-child estrangement. My name is Gia. I'm just another toxic mom, and this is a part 2 to last week's episode. If you remember, last week we talked about what are the 3 things that adult children feel like they need from their mom or both of their parents in order to heal their childhood trauma, which one would assume is the reason that they have made the choice to go no contact. So we went over last week, number 1 on that list is an apology for our parenting. And I think that we covered that pretty well. And I know that I mentioned an example apology letter that I would share with you guys. And so that will be posted in our Facebook group tomorrow, which is Wednesday. And so just check out the Facebook group. If you have not joined that group, be sure and do that, because there'll be lots of calendar event updates and just kind of you keep in the know by being in that Facebook group. I have no intention of blowing up your email inbox every time we have an event going on or a new podcast, like just for little things. So do go ahead and join that group if you have not already. All right, so today or tonight or whatever time you're listening to this, we are going to move on to the number 2 on that list. And I covered that vaguely in last week's episode. But the second thing that adult children seem to universally need from their mom or their parents is they want us to take accountability for our parenting. And so let's talk a little bit about the key elements of accountability and what are adult children looking for from us as far as what are we taking accountability for. So, you know, we talked about last week that in the apology that specific actions or behaviors are not necessary. An apology, your parenting technique or style in that your actions were hurtful to your adult child. And so along those same lines of accountability, everything that I have found on this subject talks about that if you had a long-term pattern of what, you know, could be classified as toxic mom parenting, then that you do need to get specific with that when it comes to accountability. Like I also mentioned last week that I realize that I when I get angry, I raise my voice. I'm a yeller, and it's not pleasant, and I'm embarrassed about that. And although I have grown lots in that area, that's my go-to. And so if I were going to take accountability for one of the many things that I feel like I do regret in my parenting is I raise my voice a lot. And so I need to take account. If I am ever given the opportunity to take accountability for that, I will. So, you know, we talked about unrealistic expectations as far as grades go, and that sometimes impacted adult children into feeling like that your love was conditional on whether or not they made the very highest grades. That's another thing. If you feel like that you unrealistic expectation side of parenting, that's something that maybe you feel like you should take accountability for. So I want to explain that taking accountability begins with just honestly identifying whatever it is that your adult child could have obviously been impacted in a negative way from their childhood. And you know, I have a very hard time I will say it's better now than it used to be. When I dove into this years ago and started researching this, I couldn't get past the call to actions, like what it is they need from us, because my mind just rationally would go through, well, why the heck didn't they just tell me what it is? Like, why do I have to guess? And look, I still do that often. And if you struggle with that, I can only say that I do not I think it's bullcrap, the stuff that they say about your adult children told you you just weren't listening. I lean more on the side of they just don't know. They just don't know what it is that they specifically need you to take accountability for. So just go with what you feel like in your heart. If there's something that maybe it's been on your mind throughout this, like, okay, maybe I was a little too rough on the fact that I wanted her to play tennis and maybe she didn't want to play tennis, you know, things like that. So taking that accountability and responsibility without deflection or excuses, again, just like the apology, that's major. So I just want to give you an amazing analogy of taking accountability for your parenting that I actually got this from good old TikTok. And I will say the creator who made this TikTok, she is not someone that is in the Gia fan club. Let me just say it like that. She is a creator that is very outspoken about encouraging adult children to go no contact. And she's just not, she's not the friendliest sort on the TikTok, at least not to parents who are attempting to understand this. But I will say that one of her TikToks came across my page the other day and I was like, holy crap, that's the best explanation I've ever heard. I surely did not tell her. I felt like that she would come for my head. But I'm gonna say this exactly like she said it and hope that this resonates with you like it did me. Okay, so let's use the analogy that you are sitting on your couch and you have a glass of milk in your hand and you are going to walk from the couch to the kitchen to put that glass of milk in the kitchen. And when you're on your way to the kitchen, there's a Lego on the floor or there's a dog on the floor or there's a blanket that you got tripped up on. Something happened and you stumbled. And when you did, the milk spilled on the carpet on the floor. So if you spilled the milk, adult children do not want to hear from us that we spilled the milk because we tripped over on 2 feet or we spilled the milk because there was a blanket or a Lego or a dog on the floor. According to this creator, and it sums up exactly what I have read for years on this subject. There should be no elaboration. You should simply say this, I spilled the milk, period. Now, I can tell you, I just want to remind you again, this is not what Gia is saying that you should do. This is Gia sharing the information that I gleaned over the years when I was determined to figure out how could I fix what I didn't know she wanted me to fix. Because I will say, after 7 years of researching this, the one thing that I have yet to find an answer to is why the heck do they not just tell us this? Okay, now what you will find over and over again is they told you and you weren't listening. Well, that goes back to my speaking Russian. Maybe. But no, not even maybe. My child never said to me, if you do not do this, you will never hear me laugh again. That just never happened. I would remember that. So that's a stumbling block for me. If I allow my questions to take over what is right here in black and white in front of me, because honestly, it just depends on what level you are on in your own recovery journey. Are you at the point that you will do anything possible, anything that they possibly could want from you? And whether or not that is accepted or denied, then you know you've tried everything, which is what I had to do. I know that about me. I had to try everything. And I did try everything. So, or are you at a point that when you listen to me say these things, then your mind goes to, look now, I'm in this mess because I was the parent who had a hard time saying no. I am the parent who did the furthest from self-care and I basically made my children the center of our universe. And so I don't feel like that more of this, I'm just going to say the word, coddling and groveling and all the things that you could possibly turn these things that they are asking from you into. There is definitely a part of me that feels like I've done this her whole life. So like, am I going to keep doing this? Which is what can I do to serve you? Or am I going to finally say, I'm just done doing every single thing that I am told if I do this, then she will forgive me for any and all parenting transgressions. Those are two completely separate ends of the spectrum of where you might be now. Or I'm just going to say, I hate to speak in absolutes. You will be at some point. You will have those feelings of, if you feel that, my suggestion to you is really give some time and think about, if I don't do every single thing that I can humanly possible for me to do in order to feel like I can lay my head down at night and know I gave it my all on the reconciliation, and now maybe if you're at a point down the road that you're just ready to release that, then I'm here for you. I encourage that. I support that. I also encourage and support those of you who are desperate to hear anything I have to say that could possibly get your foot in the door with your adult child. Because those are very real emotions and stages of ambiguous grief. I use that analogy about the milk spilling that I think is perfect. And so I'll put that more into terms if you are taking accountability for your parenting. Okay. So I've shared with you, I don't know, on social media, podcasts, wherever, that my oldest daughter is special needs. We were all in a car accident in 1991, which left her disabled for the rest of her life. She has a traumatic brain injury. She's thriving. She's doing great. So this is not a poor, pitiful me. This is, as always, I'm going to give you a story for you to kind of, I don't know, visualize my thoughts on how I could take accountability. So there is no doubt in my mind that during the toddler ages of my youngest daughter, who is no contact, I was not emotionally present for her. Now, I don't know that she can remember those years and put that into those words, but I'm going to say that because I was 8 months pregnant with her when the accident happened. So when we brought Gracie home, she was literally in a hospital bed, still had a tube feeding. She was still in a coma when we brought her home. And so I had a new baby also at the time. The accident happened July 8th, and then I gave birth on August 21st. So all this happened like very quickly. I had an amazing support system of my family, my parents, lots of people helping me. However, I do know when I think back to those years, I was so obsessed, is the only word I can come up with. Obsessed is the only word I can come up with. About helping Gracie, my oldest daughter, get function back of her speech, her limbs, her everything, that as a mom to a new baby, that bonding did not happen like I feel it should have happened or that it did with my oldest daughter. So that is something that I could go into all that and say, We had unusual life events that made it pretty much impossible for me to have that one-on-one bonding time with a baby when I had a toddler that had such severe medical needs. Also, we went from two incomes to one income that night, so my husband at the time took a second job at night, and so he was working constantly. So, I know that there was a lot in my daughter's childhood, like young childhood, that probably most definitely left some scars that can't be seen. So if I were going to take accountability for that time in our life, I'm going to be completely honest. I would, before all of this, I would have taken accountability in a way that was like, okay, right, I don't remember your first word, and I don't remember what your favorite baby food was. And by the way, I have tremendous guilt about this. I hate to even say it out loud, but I don't remember those things. But if I was, before no contact, if I was going to attempt to take accountability for that time in her life, I would have said, I don't remember those things, but now that you have kids, you probably understand this. Like, everything turned upside down. That's how old Gia would have probably worded that, which is not good. I mean, I don't know what the word is to say. It's not good. Even if she wasn't no contact, I can see how that is me attempting to diminish the trauma that I do know that had to cause her. So how I would take accountability for that if given the opportunity, and if I felt that was something that was a part, that was a step that I should do, I would say, I understand that my actions hurt you, and I take responsibility for that. Period. Like, there's no but, and there's no, don't you understand how difficult that would have been? None of that. In my mind, I make, it's not really excuses, but maybe it is. Like, I think back, and I'm like, I was 21 years old. Like, I was, in my mind, I was a kid. I was a kid when this horrible thing happened. And often I feel like, how could my youngest daughter not in some way empathize with that now that she's a mom? But I have to remember, she probably does empathize with that, but that doesn't cancel out her feelings of being on the back burner because she had a sister that constantly needed my attention. So those are some things in my personal story that accountability definitely should be taken. I don't know that I will ever have the opportunity. And if given the opportunity, I'm just very cautious about anything that I say to her because those things have been turned around on me. So it would have to be perfect timing and a very huge push for me to feel like now's the time I need to take accountability for parts of her childhood that, so as far as accountability goes, I think that pretty much, all right. So that is the second part of that. What are the three things that they want? So the third request from adult children, and actually out of these three, this is something that was life-changing for me. Like, I love this one. I don't know, y'all might be like, nah, I can't get behind that, but the third ask of adult children is they want their mom or their dad or both to do the work. Now, it took me quite a while to understand what the work was. So when you hear adult children say, do the work, their version is, the majority of the time, their version is they typically mean they want you to self-reflect, go to therapy, understand the impact of your past behaviors as a parent, just introspection kind of stuff. And so I immediately, went to a therapist, did all the stuff, because in the beginning, my do the work, because for me and my situation, I don't know that any of you had this same story, but it was almost like a scavenger hunt. It was almost like the very little bit of communication that I was granted with her, it was like bits and pieces and breadcrumbs of, Well, you just got to do the work and let me know, you know, when you're ready to say you've done the work. Well, what the heck does that mean? Like, I don't know what that means. So what I think she meant was participate in therapy, support groups, read books on toxic parenting, trauma, acknowledge areas where my parenting fell short, and make efforts to modify that behavior in case I had a future interaction with her. All right. So, because remember, we have to balance all this with if we do the things that we assume they are wanting, like these things that I'm sharing with you. Okay. Well, then how do we let them know we did them? And then you go into the, well, that's the whole point of it. You don't let them know because then they assume that you did that with an expectation of reconciliation. Oh, y'all, It's exhausting sometimes to when you think about all of the work they put into this. Like, do y'all ever think about that? I'm like, Lord have mercy. Like, I cannot imagine planning this huge hoopla and all of the planning and the therapy sessions and the talking to family members to form your support system. At first, I was like, oh my gosh, like there's something wrong with her. And now I'm like, she must have really wanted me out of her life to have gone to all this trouble. Like if you think about it like that. So let's talk about doing the work, because I will tell you that I started doing the work most definitely because I was on the scavenger hunt, and if she said do the work, I was doing the work, whatever the heck that meant. And so I started going to I mentioned in an earlier episode about the psychiatrist that I went to, and I was like, my daughter says I'm a narcissist, needs you to fix all this. And so that doctor had a therapist that shared an office with him. And so I have to laugh about this now, because now y'all keep in mind, I am from the South. This was in the South. I lived in Mississippi. This doctor tells me, after seeing him like 3 or 4 times, he's like, I want you to see this therapist that I share an office with. I really think she can help. And I was like, no. I just am very careful about, I don't know about therapists. They're like, I feel like they're all in cahoots with all this nonsense. And he just would never tell me why that he was adamant that I see her. But like, okay. So I finally say, okay, can't hurt. So I show up for this appointment, and y'all just keep in mind, like I'm in the waiting room, and here comes this little, she's about 5'4". In her early 70s, comes out and calls me from the waiting room with the most New York accent I've ever heard in my life. And I go back in this room with her and I get ready for her to tell me all the ways that she thinks I've abused and traumatized my children. And so I just tell her, I'm like, here's the deal. I know you don't believe that I didn't abuse my children, and I totally don't blame you for not believing that. Like, I did my whole spiel. And she just sat there and listened to me when I was done. She said, are you done now? And I was like, yeah, I think that about covers it. And she very quickly shared with me that her daughter had gone no contact, and she went years without ever meeting her grandchildren. Now, they had reconciled at this time. But y'all, I just felt a part in this woman's office. And so then as I got to know her, I realized not only was she from New York, but she is Jewish, and we had absolutely nothing in common. And I flipping loved her, and she loved me. And so I say all that because I don't think that my daughter ever had even considered that her insisting that I go fix what's wrong with me was going to lead me to this amazing, intelligent woman who was very clear on how this all works. And so the reason to do the work was just life-changing for me is because I started doing the work assuming that if I did the work, that I would meet her expectations at some point of being her mom. What that turned into was I went to this amazing therapist for a few years, who then encouraged me to find a 12-step program, which led me to Al-Anon. And that was yet another huge win for me in learning a lot about myself. And that led to what I now know is in my core something that I will be doing the work on for the rest of my life until I leave this earth. And that is my recovery journey is about my codependency. And codependency is one of those things people talk about a lot, just like that's a term they throw out a little bit like narcissists. But true codependency is definitely a huge issue for me. And I realized after really digging into this that I have definitely struggled with this my entire life. I can trace it back to grade school, probably. But I share that with you because I don't know when the switch flipped, but I began doing the work for her. And years into this, I just decided I really like who I am. And although my adult child wants me to take accountability and apologize and do so without any elaboration about my own life at the time, I can forgive myself for things that I had no control over, none. And did that affect me as being a good mom? Yes. It affected me in being a good wife, being a good daughter, being a good sister, all the things that I feel like I had been known for being up until the night my whole life fell apart. And so I can say that to myself. I can say I forgive myself for, you know, not meeting everyone's needs at that time. But according to the No Contact Movement, if you want to give your adult children what they feel they need for their own recovery journey, there can be no oh buts or by the way, because that removes the sincerity of your accountability and or your apology. So I did want to share that oftentimes, according to what I have read, parents sometimes are confused or defensive when they hear do the work because it's vague and it's a little bit like, I don't need therapy, I'm just fine. And let's just be honest, like my generation, I was born in 1970. If I had told my parents that I needed a therapist, like in high school or even a young adult, they would have immediately sent me to get some major testing done because it just wasn't the norm. It just wasn't the norm then. And it is very much the norm now. So I had never done the work. And although I feel like for me, it has been life-changing. If you do the work and after a while you feel like, I don't really have much left to uncover here, then you can also check that off your list of things that maybe you have done and you can lay your head down at night knowing you tried that. You did the work. I do want to just share with you real quick, and I know that if you are in the Facebook group, I posted a link to my Amazon shop with three books. And those three books have been so instrumental in my own self-reflection journey. Like the first 3 years of this was pretty much all digging into who Gia is. And so one of those books is The Codependence Guide to the 12 Steps. And look, I don't think everybody that's listening to me has codependency issues. I don't. But I think that even if you don't, this will be helpful to you. So this is under the chapter Loving and Forgiving Ourselves, okay? And I've mentioned several times that we cannot make them want us. And although our rational brain tells us that, as their mom, it's just mind-boggling that they could so easily not want us. And I know that sounded kind of harsh, but like, I feel like you know what I'm saying if you're living this. So this is just part of that, the part that you can't control if they choose to want reconciliation or if their life is much better without us. And so this is a paragraph I wanted to read. We cannot control the other person and how he or she feels about us. But a powerful chain of healing is set in motion when we take responsibility for ourselves. When guilt hits, when shame hits, when an old belief or an old behavior we visited on ourselves arise, we now know we have a choice. And that just, I have that highlighted and like asterisked in my book. It's one of the most freeing things that I remind myself of. Like, I can't make her want me. I just can't. But there was a powerful chain of healing set in motion when I thought I was doing this because this was a hoop she gave me to jump through. And halfway through, it turned into the very thing. I don't want to say it saved me, but I want to say that it helped me understand a lot about who I am and why this has been so devastating to me. Because for me, my whole identity was wrapped up in being a mom. And if I'm being completely honest, it's the job that I felt like I did really, really well. And to find out 30 years into it that I have been fired from that job that I thought I did really, really well, I felt like if she thought I failed as her mom, then that meant I was just a failure. And by the way, that is an untrue statement. So the last thing I want to read to you from this Codependence Guides to the 12 Step, it's, you know, I'm not one that has affirmations like glued to my mirror and in my car and all that, but this is something that I'm going to encourage you that after you listen to episode 3 and this episode 4, and if you decide that these are three things that somehow you want to provide for your adult child, if you attempt to provide these for them and you still are met with not boundaries but barriers, I want you to remember this, and it's in this book, but if you need a copy of it, I'll be happy to put it in the Facebook group. And this is something I do have. This is the one affirmation that I do have like printed out, and it's on my wall. I love and accept myself. I have taken responsibility for my behavior with blank. You can put your adult child's name there. I'm not going to say mine. Adult child's name, but I've taken responsibility for my behavior with blank, and I am now free to let the past go. Because here's the thing, you can read every book and listen to every blogger and every podcast Gia makes, and you can do every single thing like to the T of what the experts tell us we need to do. You could very possibly still be exactly where you are today. And there comes a time that once you have educated yourself on the movement of no contact, once you have done all the self-reflection that you can possibly do, once you have started to do the work, or if you have completed your work, there will come a time that you just simply have to decide, I'm gonna forgive myself for all the things that I pulled up during that self-reflection stage, and I'm going to let this go. Now, that doesn't mean you let your adult child go. It just means that burning feeling of, I have to have them in my life, because how many times as mamas have we said, oh my gosh, that poor family who lost a child. I just couldn't live without my child. I mean, I've said it a ton of times. What I have finally realized is It is not the life I envisioned for myself. It dang sure was never the life that it ever occurred to me that she would want a life without me in it. But I've done all the hoops and the work and the apologies and the groveling, and I've done it all. If what I offered my adult child her entire life, no matter how screwed up at times I know it was, and I still am of no value to her, I have absolutely nothing left. Everything that I felt I did well as a mom does not in any way make up for all the things I did not so well. I can't make up for that right now. Like, I don't have anything else to give to my adult daughter. There's nothing left for me to give her. Like, she is financially stable. She seems to be very happy from what I've heard. And it doesn't matter how little she thinks that I don't have anything that could come. And when I let that go and I read that affirmation on the days that I struggle, and I can tell you that this past week has been a tough one. I've been snowed in and I love where I live. I love my life now, but cabin fever is real, y'all. It is real. And we all know the holidays are creeping up on us, and this has nothing to do with me, but it is still tough to grasp. 7 or 8 years ago on Thanksgiving night that she would come see her dad all the time if I wasn't there. And I chuckled at that. I thought, that's the craziest thing I've ever heard. And so here we are 8 years later. This Thanksgiving, my daughter and her children will be in that home that she made it very clear to me I would no longer be in when she was done. And look, I very much want them, my ex-husband, to have time with them. Of course I do. But I would not telling the truth if I didn't say that stings. That stings a lot, knowing that that's where they will be this year, Thanksgiving. And so, it's going to be a rough day. And that affirmation of, I've done all I can do, y'all, and now I've got to let this go. That has helped me so many times on those days that I think, oh, Gia, are you about to crawl back in that bed and not at all be productive today? And there very well may be one of those days coming up for the holidays, but I'm not going to manifest that now. So anyway, so that finishes up our three things that adult children want from us, say they need from us, which is apologize for your parenting, take accountability for your parenting, and do the work. And so that wraps up this episode. Before I leave you, I just wanted to share with you that in the show notes of this episode, and you know, I probably need to test that. I think they're pretty easy to find. You will find a few things that one of them is the webinar that is November 20th that I've mentioned, which is where we dig into the details of this podcast series. We talk about each episode and we look at the websites and resources that adult children are using. And so that is Wednesday, November 20th at 5:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If you look in those show notes, there will be a link that will take you to pay your $12 registration fee. And so that is in the show notes. If you are interested in doing that webinar, remember there are 20 seats left. And so I did not get the email out like I promised. Again, y'all, we have been snowed in and power surges off and on, and my whole computer with every part of my life on it. It crashed. It crashed yesterday, and I want you to know that I have not cried, but I felt like crying about this. It cannot be retrieved, all of my many, many, many things on this desktop computer. disaster life. So that is on the show notes. And I apologize for not getting that email out. I just could not make it happen with the power nonsense. I think Bill finally got out today to go to his AA meeting, and I was thrilled. Not that he left, but that we can get out. I have not attempted, but he did. All right. So that webinar link is in there. There's also a link in there if you are interested in booking a one-on-one with me. I mentioned that I have dates coming up. I'm doing those 2, maybe 3 days a week. I have spots, but you will go, the first link will take you to pay to choose that you want to do a toxic talk one-on-one with Gia. And you do that, and then you PayPal. And then once you PayPal for that session, it will immediately send you to the scheduler, and you just schedule your day and time right there from that app. And those are those toxic talks are, they're 1 hour long, and I've done less than 5, I'll be completely honest with you, but they all 5, well, 4 have gone very well. And it's, Lord, y'all, I am not at all a life coach. Bless your heart if I'm what you got for a life coach. I'm not that. But what I am is I'm a very good person to listen to what your story of estrangement is, and then kind of help you create a plan of action on what level are you and where are we going from here. So if you're interested in doing that, again, that's in the show notes. And then I mentioned earlier that the example of the apology letter will be in the Facebook group. And if you have not joined the Just Another Toxic Mom Facebook group, I encourage you to do that if you are a mom listening to this podcast. Now look, our flying monkey friends, if y'all want to join us over there, knock yourself out. I just don't know that you are going to get much from that group unless you're a mom who is living with this. So, okay, I think that about covers it. I do think I kept it under my 1 hour tonight. So yay for that. All right, so next week is our final episode. Next Tuesday is our final episode. And then Wednesday, we will wrap it up with that webinar. And I'm really looking forward to that. I think I have a lot of good stuff to share with you on that, and a lot of good Q&As and communication time on that webinar. It's a live webinar through Zoom. Super easy to join me. And our next, once we get through next week, then we are going to look at good old holidays, and we'll have some events for that we can talk it out, and also a few podcast episodes. I think that those of you that are low contact and that you know you will be at a holiday gathering with your adult child, to get plugged in before you do that, because that can be very tough to navigate. So, all right, well, y'all have a great week, and you will receive this at some point during the night, Tuesday night. So you'll, I guess, listen to this on Wednesday. So happy hump day, y'all. I will talk to you next week, and don't forget to sign up for the webinar or the one-on-ones if you're interested. Love them forever and love them from afar, y'all. Good night.